This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Actually, I have people debating and talking about that Bills possibly not saying that nobody's actually coming and saying they should take a quarterback at number 30, like a backup quarterback for Josh Allen. But actually thinking that I took that seriously, that to put it out there, if they, to be a debate, but just having fun. We had a caller that suggested that earlier, but that's the fun of the NFL draft. You just, you know, people have their own ideas what the team should do and where they should go. So that's a week from, yesterday. We'll be in round 2 and 3 a week from tonight down at One Bills Drive. So a couple house cleaning items here. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. We will have, on Tuesday, I will be down at One Bills Drive because we will have Brandon Bean talk about the draft because it's the pre-draft press conference the Bills do every year. And Josh Allen will speak to the media. Why is that? Because the Bills actually start off-season workouts next Monday. The Bills start off-season workouts next Monday. That is where they can work with conditioning, strength and conditioning. They can't do anything football related with actual football coaches. You can't see position coaches, head coach on the field. Strength and conditioning coaches only. But that's when their 9-week program, maximum 9-week program, begins. I think the Bills are doing 8 weeks this year total. There's a OTA week in there they normally have that they're not doing this year. I think they're doing 2 instead of 3 this year. So not sure exactly why that is. Maybe I'll ask Sean McDermott, you know, if they altered that for a specific reason. But Monday starts their offseason program. And Josh Allen will speak to us on Tuesday. Maybe we'll hear from Tre'Davious White at some point. Obviously, that's big news today. Tre'Davious White re-signing with the Bills. They have agreed to terms. That has been confirmed to me and WGR, but he has not yet signed his contract. At some point, that will happen. Maybe we'll hear from Tre'Davious White. We'll hear from Josh Allen Tuesday. And we'll hear from Brandon Bean Tuesday before the draft. The draft kicks off Wednesday night. That will be first round. Remember last year, it's Wednesday night. Why did I say Wednesday? Thursday night. That will be the first round. Remember last year, they didn't even pick in the first round. They traded down a couple times and picked on Friday night, the first pick of the second round. Who knows? Maybe that happens again this year. The Bills currently hold 3 picks on those first 2 nights, pick number 30, number 56, and number 60. We are tracking everything, all of the transactions, all of the draft picks, everything about this offseason for the Bills, coaching moves for the team. In and out, home and away opponents, everything you can imagine is at our website. Just look for the WGR Buffalo Bills offseason tracker, and everything is right there for you. In the meantime, last night, the Sabres ended their season. Another season of missed playoffs. 14 straight years. The only team of the 4 major North American professional sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, the only other organization that has been out of the playoffs longer and having a longer playoff drought is the New York Jets, who made the playoffs in 2011, 2010 season, they played a playoff game in January of 2011. The Bills, the Sabres played playoff games in April of 2011. That's it. That's the last time. 14 years ago. They had a nice little bump and run at the end of the season. Then it kind of tailed off again. Last night, they beat the Flyers 5-4. Lindy Ruff gets his 900th career victory. Eventually, we will hear from Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff. But today, locker cleanout day. Our Paul Hamilton is down there. Alex Tuch, who put together a fantastic season individually. I think a very much Selke-worthy nomination season for Alex Tuch. Did I read right, Evan? Did he break a record for block shots by a forward in a season? Is that what I read last night?
Yes, you are correct. They even announced it in the stadium that okay. he broke the record. I was at the game last night.
So. In the arena, you mean, yeah.
Did I say stadium?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got in KeyBank Center, the arena. Do you call a stadium? Do we call that a stadium? I call it an arena. You guys, you can call it a stadium.
I think...
Stadiums, to me, aren't that... The arenas are smaller, right? Like that?
Stadiums, I think of, are outdoors.
But you called it a stadium.
I guess I was... you know
that's what I'm saying,
Sal.
I do know what you mean. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, listen. All right, don't worry. Bill's drafting a backup quarterback at 30. Listen, Alex Tuch, he spoke with Paul Hamilton and other media members a short while ago down at KeyBank Center, the Sabres Arena. Here is Alex Tuch from the locker room.
Look at how the season ended for, what, 6-7 weeks you guys played some winning hockey where you won some hockey games. It'll be somewhat different next year when you start. There'll be some different players, some that won't be here. Can things like that carry over from season to season, or doesn't that usually happen?
Yeah, no, I think it can. I definitely think it can. It's something that we have to focus on as a group and on an individual level too. Where you left off the season, on an individual level, you're either happy or unhappy about it, and it's up to you to make that choice of whether or not you want to be better. And then as a team, we have to push to be better, because obviously this year was a failure in all of our minds. And but no, I think we made great strides in our game the last 20 games or so. Still not good enough, I think. We can still be better, and we're going to be focusing on it. There's going to be a lot of talks about it, and words only mean so much, though. You have to put words into action.
You know, Alex, the importance of those 20 games comes about, I think, because it shows the kind of team people thought you could be, and you actually went out on the ice and did it. When you were in that 13-game winless streak, and the sense was that, you know, that might have killed the season, was there almost a sense of disbelief that that was going on with this group and that you couldn't just figure out a way to buy one to get out of that? And just, you know, Darlene's not playing, we all know that, but what was the sense during that time of, you know, how could this be happening, given even the fact the season had started, you know, pretty well after the first three games?
Yeah, no, obviously missing Dallas is huge. But as a group, I think it, at times it was unlucky bounces. At times we weren't playing good enough by any means. And that can snowball. But I don't think that there was this sense of like, oh, we're just going to keep losing. I think every time we went into a game, we thought we could win because we knew we could win. I don't think that ever faltered. I just think that at times we just let teams back in games. At times we weren't able to capitalize on opportunities. I think that if we play a little bit more honest, a little bit more consistent, things like that don't happen. And I think habits don't creep into your game that can ultimately affect and create a 13-game winless streak. I think that that's something that, like I said, we have to focus on as a team and to make sure that doesn't happen. But, I mean, you can go back and 82 games, you can look at, oh, if we did this, this would have happened. And you can nitpick all you want, but over the course of the 82-game season, we just weren't good enough, and we know that we need to be better. Whether or not you lose 13 in a row or you win 20 in a row and miss the playoffs, it doesn't matter what happens in those streaks. It's more of a shift-by-shift basis. It's more of a game-by-game basis that you have to look at it.
So what gives you optimism that you guys can accomplish your goal next season? I mean, you have a lot of young players. I've heard, you know, guys like Nathan MacKinnon say you can't win with young players in this league. So it's just given as many young guys as you have, what gives you optimism that you can you know, reach that summit.
All those young guys are going to be a year older come next season, and that means they have a full season more under their belt. I know we have a young team, but we have a lot. I think we're each and every year we're gaining more experience as a team. And I think that helps a lot. That goes a long way. And I have a lot of faith in each and every one of those guys in that locker room personally. And I know that I know each guy can be better than they were this year. I know they're all going to have really good summers, and I'm going to help try to push that along, and myself included. I thought I had a good year, but I want to have a great year next year.
Alex, you've been here for years now. The season results have been the same, not making the playoffs. But what made this one different besides ultimately not reaching the postseason?
Honestly, not reaching the postseason made it pretty similar. I think that's the end goal. Honestly, the end goal is winning the Stanley Cup. It's not even making the playoffs. You have to make the playoffs to be able to do that, obviously. So that's a stepping stone. But sitting here and knowing you have a long summer ahead, just flat out sucks. No sugarcoating it. It's a place that none of us want to be at. And like I said, I'm going to try to do everything in my power to make sure we're not here sitting here talking to you guys in April, whatever it is, come next season.
Alex, you've got one more year left on your contract. Obviously, that next contract's going to be potentially, you know, the rest of your career. Where's your head at on that as you, you know, get ready for the summer and just the thought of potentially, you know, spending the rest of your career here?
Yeah, I haven't given it too much thought, honestly. I was really focused on this year. I mean, I had some goals in mind for this year, playing 82 games, and I try to grow as a player each and every day, but I haven't given too much thought. I think through the CBA, I don't even think that they can talk to my agent until July 1st or anything like that. And when it comes to that, I'm hands off. I let my agent do all that. And I love it here in Buffalo. I really enjoy my time here. And I would like to win here in Buffalo. But I haven't even really talked to my wife about it, honestly. That's the first person I'm going to have to talk to. So, we'll see if they say anything, and we'll go from there.
As one of the veteran leaders on this team, how did you see Rasmus sort of accept the challenge of being the captain this year, first season as a captain, and maybe grow and evolve in that role as the season went on?
Yeah, I saw a lot of growth out of Raz this year. I think that, I mean, on ice, you know what he can do. He's one of the best defensemen in the league, and he can take a game over. And I think he does a really good job of leading by example through his work ethics, through his grit, just his overall play. He's a guy that I go to battle with any day of the week. And honestly, it's just awesome to play with a guy like that. And then for just an away from the rink leadership thing, I think he learned a lot of what it takes to be a captain, and he also learned a lot about himself. And I'm really excited to see how much he grows as a person and as a player going forward. And you can just see him come into his own. You can see him get more comfortable each and every day. And that's key. That's huge. He's so young. I feel like at times he might think he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, and because he really wants to win, and that's the most important thing to him. And that's the type of captain I want.
Is there a moment or example from this season that made you say, "Oh, I see him growing and becoming more comfortable in the role"?
No, I don't have one example. There's about 50 of them, so no.
Alex, I mean, you established yourself as one of the league's best upper tier, whatever, two-way forwards. What allowed you to reach that offensive level from a couple of years ago and then add to your game and have maybe a career season this year?
I think that, like I said, playing 82 games was a big thing for me, is just trying to be healthy and trying to be as consistent as possible. And I think that I wasn't as consistent as I wanted to be, but in the second half of the year, I really thought that I did a better job of being a little hungrier, maybe just sprinting a little bit more, just maybe bearing down in certain areas, knowing that my confidence also, when you're scoring, your confidence gets up a little bit. And so I was trying to keep my confidence as high as possible and being a game changer each and every night, I think. I try to do it defensively. I try to do it on all the entire length of the ice there. So I think that just trying to look for little things in my game to give me confidence and to be better in, I think, at times, help my success.
Tage already told me he's going to play for Team USA. Are you going to join him there?
Sadly, I can't. My wife gives birth in about 4 weeks to our second born son there. It's going to have to be an all hands on deck situation. But yeah, sadly, I won't be able to play in the World Championships. I would have loved to have gone, but I got to take care of my family.
You mentioned playing every game was a big goal, and I think last night you said, you know, you did some things differently maybe to just keep your body right. Like, what did change maybe that helped you accomplish that goal playing every game?
Yeah, I think every year I've played in the league, I've learned a little bit about myself and my body. What I need to do, what I need to stay away from, and how I just go into each and every day. I think I took a little bit more steps in certain areas. I won't divulge too many details, but I've had some injuries or some nagging things that I think I was able to put on the back burner and really allow, with the help of the training staff and the strength and conditioning staff there, they really helped me maintain my physical well-being. Obviously, you're never going to go through a season without bumps and bruises, but I was able to minimize mine, so I was really happy with that.
He's talked about how the culture needed to change at some point this season. You know, in your view, how did the culture evolve? I know it changes from year to year because you get new guys, but you know, where were some of, I guess, the disappointing aspects to that, and how did you see growth throughout the year?
Yeah, I think that can obviously be translated in a lot of different things. I think of like needing the culture change, I think it's needing to play to an identity, needing to buy into that identity as a team, and needing to look at a team first mentality when going into games. And I think a lot of guys realize that when the team has success, your own personal success also elevates. So playing the right way might not always put you on the score sheet, but it'll help another guy and it'll help your team win. And more wins lead to confidence, and confidence leads to personal success. And so that shift the last 20 games, you can definitely see it in the way I think guys approach the game, the way guys maybe backchecked a little harder and sold out. It wasn't so much of fear of Lindy getting like mad at them, more so than just helping out your teammates and playing for one another. And I think that we could take a step further in that direction as well. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Alex Tuck from down in the Sabres locker room. It is locker cleanout day. 14 straight years of locker cleanout day with no playoffs. There have been some years where it was absolutely expected that that would happen coming into the year. They were in a rebuild mode. There have been other years where, hey, you never know, they might be pretty decent. Going into this year, the expectation was this team needed to take a step. Everybody said it. Now, a lot of people, you out there, might be saying, yeah, you knew they wouldn't make it. But the organization expected it, and they said it, and it didn't happen. And Lindy Ruff said he was disappointed at the end of the year. Kevin Adams confirmed that Lindy Ruff will be back next year. Paul Hamilton believes, as many others do, that Kevin Adams will be back next year. We'll see, though, what winds up happening and transpiring between now, the draft, start of next season. Hockey offseason is pretty short. They're back at it in a few months. Obviously, it's a little bit longer when you don't make the playoffs, but from the time the Stanley Cup ends till training camp, it's like 2 months. It's a pretty short hockey offseason. July 1st is when free agency opens, and of course, the Bills, the Sabres have a lot of RFAs they have to address, including J.J. Paterka, I think, is first and foremost. Devin Levi's on that list. Ryan McLeod's on that list. So there's going to be some some decisions that have to be made here about, you know, what to do. Bo Byram, a lot of the guys that, you know, you have to make decisions. And then, of course, the Owen Power injury, where hopefully doesn't lead into next year. We'll hopefully maybe try to bring you Jason Zucker as well coming up here. We'll see how the time goes here between now and noon when we end the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But first, let's get to Steve in Ellicottville, who's been waiting patiently through listening to Alex Tuck, and I appreciate that. Go ahead, Steve. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal, I just want to say thank you so much for all your work on and off the field. And my phone was blowing up last night during the Sabres game, watching it down there. And I'm getting messages from Tre'Davious' mother and the aunt said, we're coming home. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this, an April Fool's joke? And then my sister texts me from Buffalo, and all my friends, you know how big of a fan I am of Tre'Davious.
Are you saying your friends with the mother and the aunt, and they were texting you?
Yes. We did a trip last summer, Penny and I, and we did 7,000 miles in 41 days, and one of our stops were Tre'Davious' aunt's house in Shreveport, Louisiana. And we just hit it off at every Bills game when they were fans here and Mafia members. And so we just stayed great friends, and they all were calling me and texting me last night. They're just excited, Sal.
That's a cool story. I don't know if you heard what I said at the top of the show, Steve, but at the end of the season for the Ravens after the game, Tre'Davious and I were talking a little bit after the game, and I said, hey, you're going to be a free agent. You know, what would you think of even about coming back here possibly? And he lit up and he said, I would love to be back here. I'd love to make that happen. You know, obviously he didn't know how things would go, but it was clear that, you know, he really had such an affinity for Buffalo and he would love that to happen. And now it has. So, you know, yeah, he is coming back. So thanks, Steve. Thanks for that story. Go ahead.
One more thing.
Yeah.
We always meet the family after the games, you know that. And so he came over, gave me a hug one day and said, thank you for loving my family. And that hits my heart all the time.
All right. Great story, Steve. Thank you. I appreciate it. And it doesn't surprise me knowing Tre'Davious, how I do both on and off the field as well. We will take a timeout. When we come back, we'll bring you Jason Zucker as well, or at least a portion of Jason Zucker from down in the locker room, a player the Sabres, you know, brought in this year and had a nice year for a veteran, and to the point where they said, we need to re-sign this guy. Even at his age, he can help us going forward with some of the young players they have. So Jason Zucker from down the locker room, but your calls as well, still welcome at 803-0550. And you can also tweet me at Sal Sports here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Here's Alex Tuck playing it across. Bernard Docker gaining the Flyers line. He'll continue a play down. Here's Tuck in front, scores! Great feed, Alex Tuck! And the Rick Martin Memorial Award winner makes it 1-0.
All right. We just heard from Alex Tuck. Let's go down to the Sabres KeyBank Center locker cleanout day. Here is Jason Zucker, veteran the Sabres signed this year, who re-signed with the club a little bit before the trade deadline.
You know you're going to be here next year and your look for the future.
I mean, I think ultimately we failed, right? I mean, we didn't accomplish our goals of getting to the playoffs and becoming a playoff team. And I think, that's a big piece of what we need to take into the off season is that. I think there's, things we can look positively on, guys having career years and guys, playing well and a lot of, little things that I think we can take as positives and bring into next year. But I think we ultimately need to look at it as, we weren't good enough. And I think I'm going to take that as, being one of the old guys, the oldest guy, it's not good enough. And, we need to raise our standard individually and bring that into, the summer, have better summer training, and ultimately come back better next year.
And what changed maybe over the last month, 6 weeks, that might give you a little more hope that, shows that everything started to maybe click or sink in?
Yeah, I mean, I think hope is I had a coach at one point tell me that hope is a strategy. And, so I'm gonna stick to that. And I think there's no hope. I think for us, it's understanding what helps you win. And I think we are the last month is something that I think we stuck to that a little bit more of what goes into winning. And it was something that I think from the coaching staff down, I think we, I'll even say general manager down, right? Having meetings and understanding a little bit more what goes into winning games. And that's, what avenues within a game are going to matter most. I mean, if we look at last night's game, I think we have a pretty good first period. I turn a puck over for Owen Tippett, one of their best players, to go have a breakaway. It's not ideal, right? So having your most veteran guy doing that, and when you're up, 1-0 or 2-0 in that game, that's a terrible message to send to the bench, right? Did I mean to turn it over? No, of course not. But that was a play that at that point of the game is not needed. It was a play that towards the end of my shift is not a smart play. Then you look forward to a power play, right, when we're up 2-1 or maybe 2-0 at the time. Arguably one of our worst power plays of the year. Give Hathaway a breakaway, they get scoring chances, they get all this stuff, and give them momentum in a game that really should have been going the other way. So those are the type scenarios that when I'm saying we need to understand how to win, that's not how to win. And that's what I think throughout the last month we did a lot better of a job doing, is recognize those situations and doing the right things to help us win games. You know, I think ultimately throughout the year we had a lot of scenarios where we lost games ourselves, and that hurt us the most.
Jason, I know that culture is such a buzzword in pro sports, but how would you say that the team culture evolved this season, and what sort of challenges did you guys face throughout the year in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, culture I think culture is earned. I think it's something that ultimately throughout a season, you earn it by doing the right things with your teammates and doing the right things throughout the league. And I think that ends up changing the way teams play against you. I think it turns into a lot of things that ultimately help you win games. And, you know, I think we took a step in the right direction, I think especially this last month. But again, it wasn't good enough. And I'm going to put that on me. That's going to be something that I'm going to look myself in the mirror and see what I can do better to help the young guys, help the older guys, you know, the leadership group, and see if we can take a big step this off season.
I guess the disappointing aspect was it negativity or doubt that maybe creeped in when it comes to just the culture? I mean, a lot of these guys haven't won yet in this league.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, I was lucky enough to make the playoffs, I think, 7 straight years in Minnesota. We missed one year for sure. You know, so call it 6 of 7 years there. And I think the culture there was, I mean, what's funny is the year I signed out of college, they were a lottery pick team. You know, and that summer they signed Parisi and Suter, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, we're a winning team now. We're a playoff team. It was just the mentality going into it that was like, no, we're a playoff team now. That's just what it was. Granted, they still had a lot of good players, you know, and they had, you know, Koivu, and, you know, they had a ton of really good players, but so do we. And I think the mentality definitely needs to change of you know, being where we are versus where we want to go. And again, that kind of goes back to what you were saying. It's not a hope thing. It's a mentality. It's a mindset. And I think we need to change that.
Jason, as you sit here at the end, obviously, 13 losses in a row, we understand what the results meant ultimately to the season, but when you reflect on that particular period, how impactful, maybe beyond the actual losses, was that streak that you guys went on to the end results?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at that, I think that was obviously it was a massive piece. I think what struck me most about it was actually later on when I think we had, I don't know, 10 games left, or what was it? And we still technically weren't out. You know, we still had a chance in some way, even though it was a small chance, we still had a chance. So when you look at it at that point, you're like, wow, okay, that is really where it hit me personally the most. Obviously, when you're going through it, you're in the thick of it. You're doing everything you can to get out of it and try to help the team win. And, you know, I think we actually played some really good hockey, oddly enough, at the beginning of that stretch, and we just didn't get wins, and it just kept piling on. But, you know, I put a lot of that on me, not helping get out of that enough, not playing well enough, and trying to push the guys to another level to get out of that earlier. But again, I think it just struck me the most at the end when we still had a chance with like 10 games left. You know, mathematically, we were still in it in some way. It was like, wow, if we just would have won 3 of those games, you know, how different of a spot we'd be in. Not saying we needed to win 10 of the 13, just 3 of them, you know, would have made a massive difference. And so it's disappointing, you know, but again, I think for me, having been in a situation similar to that in my career, you know, I wish I would have done more to help the guys and you know, try to do a little bit more during that stretch. So, you know, I'll try to be better on that for next year if we ever get in that scenario again.
Jason, it kind of going back to the culture point, half the teams in the league are getting ready for the playoffs. The other half are doing what we're doing here. And that group, there's a lot of differences in it. You have San Jose and Chicago where they are, Anaheim in a different stretch, Columbus with all they went through. And then you look at your situation here. What was it like coming in here the first time for the first year? And this organization has this albatross over it that none of the other ones do. You know, the longest playoff drought in the history of the league. You hear it over and over again. The media brings it up. The fans bring it up. Every time a losing streak starts, you know, the here we go again kind of plays in this town with this team. How difficult was that to grasp that that is kind of everywhere in the building until someday when it's not?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I never heard a word of it until I got here. You know, there's not this aura of the Sabres over the league. I said this during the stretch too. I honestly disagree. You guys are in it, right? And now I'm in it with you, and with everyone else in this city, and we're all in it together now. But there's not this aura that is just the Sabres or just the laughingstock of the league. That's not what it is. It's obviously been a tough stretch for the team, and I'm learning all this throughout this year. But I'll say, you know, last year when I was in Arizona, that felt a heck of a lot worse. You know, I'm going to be honest with you, and that's no knock on the Arizona Coyotes. I absolutely love my time there, but they were playing in a college arena in front of 20 and not even selling it out every night. And now ultimately getting moved to Utah and, you know, like all these things. So, you know, you look at guys like Clayton Keller and Krause and those guys, we're talking about missing the playoffs. They had never played in front of an NHL home arena, like home fan base. So it's easy to sit here and look at your situation when you report on the Buffalo Sabres and you look at this organization being in it and being, I'm sure, a fan, hopefully, for so many years. But it's way different when you're on the outside than when you're on the inside looking at a, you know, a, what is it, 15-year drought of the playoffs. But, you know, there's, you know, I'll say the, you know, there's just a lot more of that from the inside than the outside.
Jason, how do you collectively as a team fix the power play? I think from the outside looking in, it would be easy to say this team has Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson. How does the power play continue to be a problem? How do you fix it knowing that so many of the pieces that were on the power play this year will probably also be on the power play next year?
Yeah, I think it's self-growth, honestly. I think it's, you know, I think JJ took a big step as a half-wall guy this year, learning kind of the intricacies of a power play. You know, ultimately, we know how good Tomer can be on the power play. But so do other teams, you know, and so they obviously they just try to take him away. It's easy to say that when Washington has had the same issue with a guy that just scored almost his 900th goal. So, you know, there's ways around it and we got to be better. I mean, that's the number one key. We got to find ways to get Tomer open a little bit more. I think we got to find ways to use Dahlin and his skills a little bit more up at the blue line and make him more of a threat. And I think we were working through that at certain times. And I think we had a lot of success for certain periods, just not sustained enough. And I think that's going to be, again, a big piece that we try to work on because it's about sustaining it. And I think, you know, Lindy had told me a stat. I think our power play was like 8% during our 13-game losing streak. You know, and don't quote me on that because I didn't. Someone told me that. But, you know, it's like that's a big reason why we went on a 13-game losing streak is our special teams wasn't good enough for that stretch and for a lot of different stretches. But I think we also went through some stretches where we were in the upper 20s. So it's about finding consistency. And I think throughout a lot of our game, not just the power play, we need to be more consistent.
Was it about, you know, when you signed that contract extension at the deadline, I'm curious, what was it about Kevin and Lindy's vision that made you want to, you know, in the later part of your career, stick around and kind of, but gave you the confidence that there's better things ahead?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Lindy and Kevin and their vision and the organization and the vision and that and all these things, but ultimately, I don't feel I did a good enough job here this year in helping and teaching what I was lucky enough to have the old guys teach me when I was coming up, and I think that was a big piece for me. I think I want to take a deep dive into what I did as a leader and didn't do as a leader, quite honestly, and hopefully be better at next year. And I think it's an exciting task for me. Everything you do in your career goes through transitions. It's no different for hockey players than it is for you guys, as it is for everyone else in this world. You go through transitions in your life, and I think for me, I still absolutely love playing this game. But I'll say I was just as excited seeing Ryan McLeod score his 20th goal last night as when I look back at my career and my first year scoring 20. Like, it's so fun to see that type of stuff now. And again, I think I want to keep building myself and helping this team and this organization. And I think the guys are just a great group of guys, and I think they all care and they all want to win. And for me, I'd just love to be a part of that.
Well, Yuri Kulik, I mean, he's talked many times about what you've done for him this year. You took him under your wing, and I would watch during games when you were on the same line. You were always talking to him as you came off the ice that brought the shift and everything else. Is it fun to see his growth that you got to see this year and what he was able to accomplish? And I remember the first time I asked about you, he goes, I was afraid of him the first time I got here. But
he didn't even introduce himself to me.
He did appreciate what you did. Is it fun to see the growth you saw in him throughout the year?
Yeah, I think so. Do you think I helped him miss an empty net and hitting a ref last night? I'm not going to let him live that one down for a long time. I think Cooley is an unbelievable player, and he's going to be for a long time in this league, and I think the Sabre fans should be extremely excited about him and his game. I think the one thing that I think gets overlooked with him more than anything else is just like the matchups he had this year. You know, like even going back to just a couple games ago playing Toronto, I mean, he's playing every shift against Matthews and Marner, and Knies, and he's doing a hell of a job of it. I think he is an extremely good two-way centerman, and I think he's going to be a very good player. And I think he was a huge reason why Tomer had 45 goals or whatever it was this year too. I think he's just a great player. He's a great person. It's been fun to get to know him and try to, just help him grow as a player. And I'm really excited for him for next year. I think he's going to take a big step. So I think it'll be fun to watch.
Okay, that is Jason Zucker down at KeyBank Center. I got to tell you, like, I don't cover the Sabres like I cover the Bills, obviously, and we talk about them here. Like, I've never had an extended conversations with Jason Zucker. I could talk hockey with that guy all day. He is super impressive. That was great. I mean, he's not giving you incredible, secret to the sauce, like, oh my God, revelations, but he's thoughtful. He understands, I think, what the media is asking him and how he wants to kind of take it from the player side and the media side. There was a spot in there where he's like, yeah, from you guys, and I know how you look at it. This is how we look at it. That was just really good. I really enjoyed that from Jason Zucker. Unfortunately, comes at the heels of a Sabres season that, again, resulted in no playoffs. Paul's down there in the locker room. He'll have a lot more for all of us and you at PHAM1717, of course, on social media, on Twitter, and of course, at WGR550.com. We'll take one final timeout. We'll come back and wrap up your Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there's no Sabres Live or One Bills Live today, so we got our guys Zach Jones and Derek Kramer going to be taking over here for the next few hours. What's up, guys? How are you?
Good. How you doing,
Sal? We're chilling.
Pretty good. How about the fact that as of maybe, 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday, you didn't really have a ton of content? I'm sure you would have stuff to talk about, then boom! I mean, you just have a lot of content today with Tre'Davious White signing.
I'm just happy that the Goalie Academy is back open and maybe the Sabres have a chance to improve in the net.
No doubt. I mean, that was one of the kind of memes and jokes that went around yesterday after it was announced that and reported he was coming back. People said, is he coming to play goalie for the Buffalo Sabres? Because maybe that was more needed for what's happening right now.
It's a bit of a weakness this year, Sal, unfortunately. Yeah. But we'll talk plenty about that. We'll have Matt Larkin on at 1 o'clock to talk about the Sabres, as well as the Stanley Cup playoffs, as the field was set last night. Not last night, two nights ago. And then, of course, we'll be talking so much draft that I don't know how else to describe it. It's just so much draft. You've never heard more draft in your life. All
well,
of
you
the
got,
draft.
What, 3 hours, right? Three hours worth of all this. You got Paul down at the Sabres locker area, obviously. Locker clean-out day. You got the draft coming up. And, of course, Easter weekend, guys. So I just want to take this time to say happy Easter to you and your families out there and to, obviously, everybody listening.
Happy Easter to you and your family as well, Sal.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. You got Derek and Zach coming up next here on WGR. Have a great, happy Easter, everybody. I'll talk to you on Monday.